share with you a text message that I just got from Pastor Jim. Is it okay to text in church, you guys? Is that all right? We have people up there watching you, by the way, so no, I'm just joking. If I can get to it, I might need my kids to help me get there. No, I'm here. Pastor Jim says that John is going in for surgery in a few minutes on his broken arm, with surgery tomorrow on his hip. And I was just wondering, would there be three men who would stand up right where you are, and would you pray specifically for John during this surgery right now? Would there be three men in our church who would do that before we get to the message today? Go ahead. Amen. Thank you, guys. So what do you do in times like this, right? When you wake up in the morning and you get ready for church and you're planning to come in early anyway. There's something I needed to do here at church, and I get to the kitchen and you pick up your cell phone and all of a sudden there's all these green messages everywhere. And I'm like, what is going on? And Pastor Jim had just texted myself and all the deacons letting them know what had happened. And to give Pastor Jim credit, you know, I called him and I talked to him, and he said, you know, we got a phone call, and Kim and I, we put all of our church stuff in the car, and then we drove down to Evansville to be with our son, with the idea that they were going to come back up here and minister to us in the middle of all this. And not that they don't care about their son or what he's going through, but they also have you guys on their minds at the same time. And I wanted to share that with you because you need to know the heart of your pastor and your pastor's wife. They love you guys tremendously. They would love to be here today, but they need to be there for their son. And so what do you do in times like this other than just trust God that God has a plan for today and for today's service? Because that's all we can do, right? And God had all of the music arranged for this specific time ahead of time to meet the needs that are here today, even the special music to meet the need that was here today within our body. And as the guy who got the phone call and said, hey, can you fill in for me? I'll be honest with you. I was like, okay, but I'm kind of freaking out a little bit. All right? Just being honest. And it's not that these things don't happen. It's okay. And I told Pastor Jim, it's okay. Pastor Jim, don't worry about a thing. We're going to take care of things at church today. Be there for your son. Be there for your son. And so I came to church today, and I kind of had some ideas of what to do. Being a preacher, you can always pull out a file, and you've got some stuff that you've done in the past. And I started looking through some things, like a modern-day person. It wasn't actually a paper file. It was on the computer, and I'm like, I did that one, and this one, and this. And it just none of it seemed to really make any sense. And I'm running out of time. You know, by that time, it's probably getting close to 8 o'clock, and I'm like, Lord, you need to direct me to something that you want me to share today. So this may not be a full-blown sermon, but on the other hand, it may be a full-blown thing. I don't know, but I want to share with you today a passage of Scripture that God has placed in my heart, and in fact, I think God places it on my heart this morning because he's used it many different times throughout my life when I've run into trouble. And I don't want to candy coat things for you guys. Our pastor and wife and son are in some trouble today. They are. This is a serious accident. And there may be questions swirling around, not only in Pastor Jim's mind or Kim's mind, but John himself, you know. God, why has this happened? What am I going to do in this troubling situation? And I know Pastor Jim, and I know that his thoughts are here as well as being there with his son. And he might even be worried about things here. And what is he going to do in a time of trouble, in this time of trouble that he's in? Can anybody guess what book of the Bible we're going to today? What was that? Oh, you got it, Miss Bobby. Psalms, okay. Every time I'm up here, it seems to be Psalms, but you know what? It's right for today. And I want to take you to Psalm 46 today. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46, I want to apologize. There was no time to make slides for you today with the Bible verses up here on the screen. You're going to have to go old school with me, and we're going right to the paper Bible. Young people, this is called a book, all right? It's got pages and ink in here arranged in a way that we can understand what it's saying, the words, okay? And so we're going right to paper today. And I want to share with you from Psalm 46. And I just want to start out with verse 1 here and do a little introduction and see where God leads us through this message today. Listen very carefully. Psalm 46, verse 1. And I love how bold this is and how it sets the tone for everything else in Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. God is our refuge and strength and present help in time of trouble. And I got two questions for you to start off this message today. The first one is, do you really believe this? Do you believe that God is a refuge and strength and a present help in time of your trouble? And my second question is, really? I mean, do you really believe that? Because the church answer is to say, hey, we're in church. Of course I believe that God is a refuge, strength, and help in time of trouble. If I say I don't believe that, then it makes me not look as spiritual. But I don't care what you look like today or what you look like on the inside today. You got to answer that question honestly for yourself. Do you really believe that God is a refuge, a strength, and a present help in time of your trouble? So maybe you're wrestling with that right now. I want to give you a test. We got some teachers in the house here, yeah. And I was never good at school, so now I get to give a test. So let's do a test and see if you really believe that God is your refuge and strength and help in time of trouble. If you really, really take that to be personal to you. Let me ask you this. Here's the test. What do you do when tough times come? Because that will really reveal if you believe that God is the refuge, strength, and help in time of trouble. So what do? Do you go to God? Do you fully rely on him 100% during that time of trouble? Or are you more self-centered and looking to do things on your own? Here's question number 2 on the test. And this is only 3 questions, so this is going to be easy, you guys. It's not even multiple choice. Who do you talk to when tough times come? Now, I'm not really meaning to step on toes or anything because I'm kind of guilty of this myself at times. But at times, we have a tendency when tough times come to not talk to God or go to him who is refuge, strength, and present help in time of trouble. And we like to talk to everybody else but God. Am I right? Maybe it's only me. All right, if it is confession time to you guys today, okay? But you guys, I think, know what I'm talking about. We're prone to go talk to our neighbor, to our family members, to anybody who will listen and agree with our opinion about the trouble we're facing. And many times we neglect to go to God himself, the one who can actually do something about it, and lay it in his lap. So, again, the first question, what do you do? The second one was, who do you talk to? And the last one is, when does God come into your trial? When do you finally let God in the trial? Maybe you answered first off and you're like, it was right at the very beginning. That's great. But some of us are kind of hard-headed and we struggle and we do these other different things like taking it on ourselves or talking to other people. And then eventually we get to letting God into the trial. Or maybe we just don't. And maybe you don't. Maybe you're sitting there today, and in all honesty, you're saying before God and before us today in your own mind that, you know what, I don't take my trials and my trouble to God because I do try to handle it myself, and I look for other people to validate my opinion so that I can feel good about everything. So there's your test. So at the very beginning, do you really believe that God is your refuge, strength, and help in time of trouble? And if you really believe that he is, your answers to all of this would be God-centered. Yeah, God is in charge. He's the boss. Even when troubles come, that's where I go. I'm willing to guess that a lot of us have some work to do in this area. You know, trouble is inevitable in this life, isn't it? We cannot avoid the troubles of this world. As believers, we're going to be persecuted. If you haven't already, it's going to come. And there may be a time even in our generation where it's escalated to the way that it used to be centuries ago. That's where we're headed. What are we going to do as believers when that trouble comes? I'm not even going to stand up here and pretend that I know what Pastor Jim and Kim are going through today. I can't do that. I haven't been through that. But what are they going to do when trouble comes? What are they going to do with the trouble that's facing them right now? So I just want to submit to you this morning that Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. When times of trouble come, we can handle it successfully by going to God. Now, I do want to look through the rest of this chapter. I can't close this in prayer just yet, all right? And I think your roast will be just fine in the oven for another hour or two or so. But let's just walk through Psalm 46. And let's be encouraged. Let's be challenged, all of us, be challenged to evaluate where we are and where our heart is when it comes to trouble in this life. God is our refuge and strength, the very help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear into two. He burns the chariots with fire. Verse 10, cease striving, or be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Short little passage of scripture, 11 verses, but it is power-packed, isn't it? And there's a lot in there for us to mine out today and to be challenged with. So I want to ask you, are you willing to be challenged by God's word today? It's not my words. If I get fancy with my words, kind of ignore all that, you know. There's usually nothing fancy about me. Let God's word speak for itself to you today. And it has been my prayer for the last 3 or 4 hours that we would leave here changed, different than when we came in. Are you willing to let God change you today? Let's walk through this a little bit. We see in verse 1 of chapter 46 that God is our refuge, strength, present help in time of trouble. And what this means is God is our protector. I don't know about you, but when trouble comes in my life, I want somebody to help protect me. God is our protector. God is a place to find shelter. We need shelter from things that can harm us, right? And many times we can't control the circumstances surrounding us or what people may be saying about us. And we can't control cars that are coming down the road at us to cause us trouble or to cause an accident, to put us in the hospital, whatever it might be. But God is a place where we can find shelter in our time of trouble. And he's exactly who we should turn to in a time of need. God is strong and able to help us no matter what we face. You see, God's just not a protector and a shelter, but he's strong. And he's able, he's capable to meet every need that we have, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. And maybe you sit there today and you're just like, well, you don't know what my need is, Pastor Matt. God knows what your need is. And he not only knows that everything, he can meet the need in your unique way. So So God's a protector. He's a shelter. He's strong and able. And because of who God is and because of what God does and what God is capable to do, we don't need to be afraid in life, no matter what trouble comes our way. You know, the longer I work with people and the longer I work with teenagers, and you know, it's not just teenagers, it's adults alike. We are a people who seem to be afraid a lot. And many times in life, our what we do in life, our motivations, we're driven by fear to make decisions. And I want you to think about this for a minute. What would it be like if you embraced Psalm 46 today and realized that God is who he says he is and that he is a protector and a place of shelter, strong and able to help, and you really took that to heart and you really did something with it in the trouble that you're facing today, and you were able to walk through tomorrow without walking in fear. And then realize that and realize the next day, hey, I need to have God as the center of this and give my burdens to the Lord and let him lead me through this trouble. And the very next day, you're able to walk without fear. You see, I think fear is rampant among believers today for this very reason. So because of who God is and what God does and what he's capable to do, we don't have to be afraid and walk in fear. You don't have to live in fear, and our lives don't have to be driven by fear, and we won't make decisions in our fear, which caused more problems and more stressors in our lives. So let's go on from verse 1. In verse 2 and 3, it says this, "Therefore we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride." Verses 2 and 3 talks about earth and mountains. And when we think, when we as humans think of earth and mountains, we usually regard them as stable, right? You know, unless you live in Florida and there's sinkholes everywhere, right? You're like, where's the sinkhole coming next? There you're gone, you know, that type of thing. I lived in Florida, so the struggle is real, okay? But we generally think of the earth and especially mountains as being something that's strong, unshakable. It's not going to go anywhere. Couldn't disappear and anything like that. But when things happen, like a sinkhole or an earthquake or a volcano or something, is everybody happy and rejoicing in the streets? Woo, look at this. We're all going to die. Oh, great. Is that what happens? No, we're afraid, right? And so it's in here in the scriptures to highlight that for us. The earth and the mountains usually are regarded as stable, but when they move, we're afraid. But God provides stability for us in the middle of unstable times. So yeah, you may think that life, there's things in your life that are built up that are strong towers, but I guarantee you there's going to come a time in a trial in your life or trouble in your life where you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to be afraid when things start shaking and getting rattled around, or when the ground drops out from underneath you and you feel like there's no hope? What are you going to do? Will God be the stability that you need? And it's not a question of whether or not God will show up and be the stability. He is already. But will you go to him and rely on him to be what he's already promised that he'll do for you? Your decision. So we don't have to be afraid because God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble. And I love how in the psalm here, it uses things that make sense to us, like the mountains. It talks about the sea, talks about quakes and all these different things to connect with us and help us to understand. So what will you do? Will you let God be your refuge and strength? Verse 4 says this, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High." Verse 5, "God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted." In verse 4 here, I believe it's a reference to Jerusalem, which is God's chosen earthly residence. And I think that can be proven if you turn it over in your Bibles to Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. this idea that Jerusalem is God's chosen earthly residence. It says here in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king." So in verse 4, when it talks about there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, we're talking about Jerusalem here. And you have to remember the context. I know that you guys know this. You have to consider the context, right? Who are the original hearers and listeners to Psalm 46? It's Jewish people, the Israelites. And for them to hear this and to understand that God is greater than anything that can happen, any trouble that can happen by earthquakes or by the sea or sinkholes in Florida, whatever it might be, that's great. But God is also greater than any nations or any nations that may come against them as well. God is powerful. Let me reference down to verse number 6. It says, "The nations made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered, but God raised his voice and the earth melted." I don't know of any army that can just raise their voice and their enemy is wiped out or neutralized or whatever you want to call it. But God can. And so for the original hearers of what was being read to them, that was a tremendous comfort to them. And it should be a comfort to us today. Verses 5 and 6 say this: "God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved." Again, we're talking about Jerusalem, God's earthly dwelling place. "God will help her when morning dawns. The nations may roar and the kingdoms totter. He raised his voice and the earth melted." The presence of God brings security to unstable situations. You see, when we try to, in our trouble, avoid God or to leave him out or even passively just, you know, I don't know how to say this, but sometimes we are passive and we don't even just consider God because we're so used to going to other people and other things to try to fill that void in our trouble. And when we try to do that, the situation is even more unstable. But the presence of God brings security to unstable situations. God will be faithful because he's our refuge, strength, and help. It says in verse 1, do you believe it yet? Are you embracing that as a truth for your own life? God is a refuge and strength and present help in time of trouble. In verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And 7 is connected to verses 5, 6, or 4, 5, and 6 all together in a bunch, in a paragraph there for a reason. Again, God is greater than the nations or anything else that could come up and try to annihilate the nation of Israel. This is a tremendous comfort to them that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. I tell you what, as a little kid, I was an ornery little kid. Could you see that or can you believe that? And I remember playground battles, okay? And this really didn't start probably until about fourth grade, okay? And there's a lot of history and a lot of baggage to come along with that, and we'll leave all of that out, okay? If my sisters ever come to visit, you're free to ask them questions, okay? And they'll fill you in on everything, I'm sure. But there are playground battles, and some of you guys, maybe some of you girls have been in playground battles, right? And sometimes it was just simply just threats kids would make. I'm going to come over there, and I can't even say it in church, you know? And you're like, okay, whatever, you know, and you run away. And then for me, I would go and look for people who would come along with me to help me, you know, because I was like 3 foot nothing in elementary school and my arms are like toothpicks. And if I turned sideways, you couldn't see me pretty much. Okay. And when you have bigger kids coming at you, you're like, you know, you need some help. And so I've always felt like I needed to have somebody with me to help me. And so I would assemble a group of friends, and some of them would stick around when it came down to clutch time, and most of them would run away, you know, and you're left there. And there was this fear that's involved in that trouble or in that conflict, okay? Nothing really major happened, but the point is that when we're in trouble and when we're in fear, we want somebody to be with us, right? We want somebody to be with us. I can remember one time in fifth grade, I was the new kid at the Christian school. Christian school, you guys. And there were like two or three boys in my class who, for some reason, I didn't even know them. They didn't like me. Maybe they didn't like the way I combed my hair or didn't comb my hair in fifth grade. Maybe I stank too much. I don't know what it was. But I remember they were just coming after me all the time during recess, you know. And they would try to do their karate moves because they were taking karate or taekwondo. And I'm just like, okay, you know. So I grabbed their leg and go like that. And it was just, it was really awkward. It was an awkward time of trouble. And I always wanted to have somebody with me just because I would feel better, right? And there's strength in numbers, supposedly. Well, when it comes to God and God being with us, there's definitely strength in numbers and there's strength in the Lord. God is powerful. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. And I don't know about you and what trouble you're going through right now, but if you're trying to walk through the trouble apart from God, you're not going to be at peace. There can't be a shred of confidence. And even if you have some confidence apart from God, it can easily be taken away from you because it's not from God. I've experienced that in my life. I've tried to do several things in my life in my own strength or tried to walk through trouble in my own strength, and it never works. As confident as I can be and to have all my ducks lined up and in a row, everything's going to be fine. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Something can happen and boom, my confidence is gone. And it is like somebody pulled the rug out from under you because my confidence wasn't in the Lord. I wasn't relying on God's presence to walk through the trial like I should. But in Psalm 46, the psalmist tells us that the Lord of hosts is with us. And that is not a small sentence to ignore in the scripture. And if nothing else during your trouble that you can think of today that you're going through, I want you to realize and recognize that God is with you. God is with you. He's a refuge, a strength, and very present help, a present help. He's present in your time of trouble. Do you really believe that? There's a transition that happens now after verse 7 and verse 8. And I love this because it happens at other times in the Psalms. If you guys read through the Psalms, you're going to see this happen several different times where the psalmist is talking about something, then there's this transition that talks about how powerful God is. And I think it's there because we need to be reminded, yes, we need to rely on God for his strength, but we also need to be reminded how powerful that God really is. And the Bible is chock full of illustrations and words and phrases that tell us how powerful God is, but we need to be hearing it constantly. Again, I'll get on my soapbox. That's a plug for being in the Word daily and reading God's Word. But verse 8 says this. Verse 8, and I think we'll go to verse 9. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and he cuts the spear in two, and he burns the chariots with fire. You know, for some of us, that might seem kind of a random thing to be put into a chapter like this, but it's not. It's there to help give us confidence. Look at what God can do, the works of the Lord. And there's just a few that are mentioned here, but they're pretty big, aren't they? Wrought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. You think God can end a conflict like that? You bet. He can do whatever he wants, and he's powerful to do it, right? He burns the chariots with fire. It doesn't matter if the chariot has a fire extinguisher or not. If God says that chariot's burning, it's burning, right? God has the power to do that. Fire extinguisher burnt up too. It's gone. That's what God's word says. So God is powerful, and he can meet the deepest needs that we have. He can meet the trouble that we're facing and meet it in a way that brings relief to us. And sometimes he'll say, I can't give you relief from it now, but I'm going to walk through this trouble with you. And I'm going to show you how powerful I am to help you through this. We need to be reminded of God's power while we're facing trouble. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 103. I want to further use scripture to illustrate this. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is 22 verses, but it further illustrates or tells us more about God's power. And I'm just getting the sense that maybe today we need to hear more about God's power to help us through this time of trouble. Or the time of trouble that you're facing that we don't know about as a congregation. Put your confidence in God and His Word. And listen to this. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. And here's some benefits that are listed for us. God's benefits. Who pardons all of our iniquities. Who heals all of our diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. What a great God. Verse 6, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. And here we go again. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Aren't you glad about that? Is anybody here today thankful for grace and for the mercy that God shows us through His Son, Jesus? He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Folks, there's one person who can do that, and that's God Himself. That is an awesome thing to consider today. Verse 13, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself, He knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. To those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word. Obey the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of all dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you need more proof today of God's power? If you want to think of it in business terms, some of us like to do that. God has a tremendous resume for meeting people where they're at. And He wants to meet you right now in the trouble that you're mired in your life. Hey, I'm not one to judge, okay? I'm not. And I don't think it's appropriate for any of us to be judging other people and their sins and what they're in. But I do know, as somebody who preaches and teaches God's word, I know that we all have struggles. And I know that because I have them myself. I mentioned some of those a few weeks ago when I spoke up here. We all have troubles that we're facing. But do you really believe that God is your refuge, your strength, and your present help in time of trouble? Is God right now those things in what you're facing? Verse 10 of Psalm 46. After everything that's said, We've talked about God being a refuge, strength, for every present help in time of trouble. There's encouragement there because to the nation of Israel that God is present. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And then we have some evidence, if you want to call it some resume items of God, where he's just great and powerful, and it should bring us great encouragement. We get to verse 10, and all of a sudden it switches, and some commands are given to us, some instruction. Not suggestions, but they're commands to us. Here's what we can do. So if you're wondering today, what does this have to do with me? Yes, Pastor Matt, you've touched a nerve, and I know that I'm struggling in some different things in my life. I am in some trouble. That's great. And all of these things, I do believe God is powerful, but what do I do about it? Verse 10 takes us to that point. And it's really a point of decision that each and every one of us have today. What are we going to do with verse 10? Because what you decide to do with verse 10 is going to make a difference on whether or not you leave here today changed and different in your time of trouble than before you came here. It goes from knowledge to actually action, if you want to put it that way. In verse 10 here, in my translation, it says, cease striving. In other translations, it might say, be still. How many of you in your Bible say, be still? Fair enough. Cease striving or be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You see, many times when we're in trouble, we can't slow down for anything. And when it's the kind of trouble where you have to keep telling lies to keep up with your own lies, there is no rest at all, is there? But God calls us down to decision right here in verse 10. And with everything that's going on in your life today, and the trouble that you may be facing, God says here, be still and know that I am God. In other words, be still could mean don't panic or don't freak out. Stop doing that. And remember that I'm sovereign. I know what's going on. I know what's going on in your situation, but even more than that, I know what's going on inside your own heart and mind. I know what's going on. And it's time to be still, know that I'm God, and that I want to do something about it. Will you let me do that? Will you let me be God? Will you submit your life to me and let me take care of this? Will you walk through it with me? Will you let me do that? God calls us to cease striving and to know that he's God. Again, not a suggestion. It's a call, a command to do that. Will you do that today with whatever you're facing in life? It's a hard question to answer, isn't it? Because when we do this, we give up what, you know, the C word in our life. We give up control. And our lives go from trying to control our circumstances and our situations and our relationships to following after God and to being still and realizing God is sovereign and in control, and he's the only one that can help me through the struggle that I'm facing. Have I told you guys the story about when I was burned? Does anybody remember that? Okay, I won't go into the details. But there was a time in my life where God used a circumstance, an accident in my life, to get my attention. And I just finished my second year of Bible college, and I don't think my heart could have been further from God, to be honest with you. I didn't even want to stay and finish my second year of Bible college. In fact, there were several occasions in January of that year, I called my dad, who was a pastor in Iowa, and I said, Dad, please let me come home. My heart's not here. I don't want to be here. And he, in his wisdom, didn't let me do that. And fortunately, I wasn't such a stubborn young man that I disobeyed my dad at that point in my life. And I honored him and I stayed there. Wasn't pleasant, didn't turn out great, but I did what he said. And I'm glad that I did. But my heart was far from God. And I knew it. And I know that other people around me knew it. And unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of great friends who were able to, maybe they weren't able to because they didn't want to, or they were too wrapped up in their own lives. They didn't call me out on things that were going on in my life. And so I was kind of reeling inside out of control. Things might have looked okay on the outside to a certain degree, but I was reeling spiritually. And God used a circumstance to get my attention. And it has to do with gasoline and a match. And you can guess how that went, right? I'm burning brush on a farm, just cut down a bunch of branches and trees and different things and making these giant piles. And the farmer's out of diesel fuel, which was what we preferred to use because it's less explosive, supposedly. And so we decided, well, the only thing we have left is gasoline. What else do you do as a 19-year-old on a farm, you know? You grab the gas can and you go at it. And the burn went great in the morning, came back in the afternoon, and poured more gasoline on a new big pile. And it was very still. And I still remember, like it was yesterday, I can even remember this when I turn on my gas grill at home. It's the same sound, except it's bigger. I hit the match and threw the match, and boom, all around me. And that's not how I lost my hair, you guys, honestly. That was going to happen anyway. But I did lose some hair that day. And by reaction, I think it was by God's Holy Spirit also, I was on the ground rolling to be put out because I was on fire, literally. And that's what two of the kids who were at the farm told me. They're like, "You were on fire." I'm like, "I know. Get me out of here," you know. And God preserved my life. But I tell you that story because the one verse that God brought to my mind as I'm laying in an emergency room in rural Iowa, and I didn't even know how bad my condition was or my burns, and my mom is there, my dad shows up, and I remember asking him, "Am I going to die?" And they didn't know. We did not know how bad things were going to be. And I didn't know if I was going to die or not. And the one verse that God brought to my mind was verse 10 of Psalm 46. And I knew what it was. I could quote it to my dad, but I said, "Dad, will you read this to me?" And keep reading it. Just keep reading it. And God brought it to my mind because I was at a time in my life where I needed to cease striving. I needed to be still and know that God was in control of everything. And I needed to align my will to His will in my trouble. In my life that was spiraling out of control, it needed to stop. And God used His word to get my attention that day. Now, I can't tell you that everything after that was great, but that was a watershed moment in my spiritual life, and God kept working on me, and He kept working on me, and He kept chiseling away these big issues and problems that I had, and He's still conforming me to the image of His Son. But I just want to stress to you today, maybe there's some here today who are in my same spot that I was as a 19-year-old. And maybe you're not 19, maybe you're 12, maybe you're 89, maybe you're in your 60s or 50s, whatever it might be, but maybe you know what I'm talking about, and you can sense that God wants to do something different in your life, and He wants you to give control to Him, to cease striving or to be still and know that He is God. And will you let Him do that? The psalm closes in verse 11. And it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." Again, reminding us of God's presence. Available to not just the Israelites, but to all of us today. Available to you in your trouble and in your struggle today. So what will you do with what you've heard today? I know this hasn't been a great homiletical message. And that's okay. That really doesn't matter to me at all. But what will you do with God's word and what you've heard from God's word today? That's what really matters. So I want to close by asking just some questions, just some reflective questions for you to think about as you think about what you've heard from Psalm 46 and Psalm 103. What are you facing this morning? What kind of troubles are you facing? What are you in? For some of us, maybe it's just we're in a puddle of trouble. And we're like, yeah, but I don't like it. It's messing up my shoes. And I know that I'm dirty and I need to be clean before God. So I know that there's something there and I know that I need to go to God. For some of you, maybe you're waist high. For some of you, maybe you feel like you're in quicksand and you're gasping for breath and your hand's sticking out of there and that's all you got left. But what are you facing this morning? And maybe to put some wheels to this or to make it real for us, here's some other questions. Maybe you're struggling with a mountain of unconfessed sin that's separating you from God. Maybe you're here today, maybe even as a church member for decades, and you know that you've never really trusted Christ as your Savior. And yes, there is a mountain of sin between you and God because you've never gone to God through Jesus and the grace that he offers for God's gift of eternal life. And would you go to him today and accept God's gift of eternal life? Maybe there's a mountain of unconfessed sin, believer, because you have been running around in this life and trying to do things on your own, and you've just never gotten the idea down and the discipline to confess your sin daily and go before God and ask him to help you. Well, today's a day that you can do that. Maybe you're going through a rough time at home. Maybe they're a broken or strained marriage. Maybe there's job issues that you're facing and you feel like you're drowning at work and you don't know what to do. Do you think God can help you with that? He can. A refuge, a strength, a very present help in time of trouble, even at work. Cease striving and know that he's God, even at work. What about school issues? Maybe you're getting bullied. Maybe you're the bully. Do you think God can help you with that? He certainly can. What about emotional issues that you might have? Maybe you're kind of like me where inside you are just spiraling downhill and you know it. And you're like, I don't even know how this can stop. I want to tell you, friend, today it can stop with God. Will you let him be a present help to you and a stronghold in your life? Maybe it's not a marriage relationship you're struggling with. Maybe it's just broken or strained relationships in general. You know, sometimes we as people, we can make a mess of relationships with people. And don't get me wrong, I think relationships are worth every mess that they involve, okay? They're important. But maybe some are just so out of control you don't even know what to do. And that could be at home, that could be in the community, that could even be here at church. It could be. But even in all of that, will you let God be your refuge, strength, and present help in that trouble? And are you willing to be still and let God work? Are you willing to give up control and let God? Maybe it's uncertainties about the future. You don't know health-wise how things are going to turn out. You don't know job-wise if you'll have a job in 6 months. You don't know what your kids are going to do when they graduate and go away. The struggle is real, you guys. My daughter just turned 18 this week. And I'm being real with you, you know. There's many a time when I stay up at night and I pray for her. Or I wake up in the middle of the night and I don't know why I'm awake. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I know that I need to be still and know that God is sovereign and God is in control, right? Maybe financial stressors are in your life and in your home. And that's not something to minimize. I know that and I'm not trying to. But you know what? God can handle any financial issue you have. And it might not be the answer, his way of handling it. It might not be the way you want it to be. But I guarantee you, if he gives you an answer and he says, this is what's going to work, will you follow me through this? If you follow him, it's going to be good. but it's going to be great. And it's going to be resolved probably even better than you ever imagined it could be. So no matter what you're facing this morning, you're brought to a decision in verse 10. Cease striving or be still and know that I am God. Someone once said, and I don't remember who said this, so I can't give them proper credit. They said this: as long as you have a hold of your own battles, God will let you fight it on your own. And people, there comes a time in life, and the time is now, and the time is tomorrow when you reach another struggle in your life or another trouble, to say, you know what, I can't do this on my own. God, I want you to take the lead in this. So will you do that today? You can walk from this building today, and it's nothing magical or mystical about it. It's just simply meeting with God right now where you are and offering yourself to God and saying, God, I'm tired of striving. I'm ready to let you lead me. This trouble that I'm facing is overwhelming. My spouse wouldn't even believe me if I told him. My friends would be shocked or whatever, but God, I don't care because I want you to lead me. I'm tired of the struggle. Will you lead me? Be still and know that God is your refuge and strength and present help in time of trouble. I want to encourage you to turn to him right now. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the day that you've given us, Lord. And I thank you so much, God, for the tremendous mercy that you've shown each and every one of us in our lives. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Even while we're still sinners, we have done nothing to earn that, Lord, or to earn the gift of eternal life. You provided Jesus, even when we're sinners, to die for us so that we could be reconciled to you and be part of your family forever. God, I want to pray for each and every one of us in this room today or who may be listening to this online someday, that I pray, God, that you would help us in our time of trouble. And like I said, Lord, some of us feel like we're in a puddle, and some of us are waist deep, and some of us are way in over our heads. But God, no matter where we are, we know that you can meet us exactly where we're at. And you want to be our refuge and our strength and our present help in time of trouble. God, help us to yield control of our lives in these troubles. Help us to yield them to you and be willing to follow you however you would lead us. God, I want to pray for Pastor Jim and Kim today as they sit and wait in the waiting room down there at the hospital and in their time of trouble, Lord, and in their spot of life that they're in. I pray, God, that you would bring Psalm 46 to mind and just bring to mind, Lord, how wonderful you are and how present you are to help them. God, I pray that you help us as a church family to rally around them and to love them the way they need to be loved right now. God, may they feel your presence today as they look to you for their help and strength. Thank you, God, for being present with us. Help us, God, to turn our hearts and our minds and our actions to you. In Jesus' name, amen.